The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling
now.
My shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I forgot to turn the microphone on. I'm already jacked up for training camp.
How about that, Douglas? Here we go.
Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf, not live in Flagstaff, as training camp begins tomorrow for the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, those were the days. I'm not going to lie about it, right? Just going up there, the cool pines, ladies and gentlemen. All the smell at 7,000 feet elevation, of course, up in Flagstaff. Ron Wolfley, Doug Franz, the Doug and Wolf Show, reporting for duty. Training camp opens for the Arizona Cardinals Veterans Report tomorrow. Man, you can almost smell it.
You know, I'll even throw that out as a first question for the FanDuel text line. You can text us right now at 620-620. Do you miss Flagstaff? Because if you were asking my honest opinion about different groups, I would say for players, coaches, the organization, and most of you as fans, Glendale is better.
I miss the thought of Flagstaff.
For me and the media, I think Flagstaff is better.
I'm
willing to listen to any of you because maybe some of you are going to say, you know what? I really miss driving up to Flagstaff, taking my son, my daughter, and sitting there watching a scrimmage and then going out to lunch and then going home for the day. Maybe you miss that. But for the average fan to be able to stop by after work and watch a practice free or the take a day off of work and go watch or to not have to go up to Flagstaff. I don't know. Maybe it's – I assume it's 10 times better for you as a fan for Glendale. And, for the players and coaches, it's got to be a lot better to be staying at the Renaissance, a nice hotel, and not be staying in a dorm and still being right here in Phoenix the whole time.
You know, it's amazing about it, Douglas. I really didn't think this was going to work, the training camp being held in Glendale. I didn't think it was really going to work. And – I thought the Arizona Cardinals at some point in time, maybe year four, year five of this experiment, and I'm using quotes in the air, experiment of having training camp in Glendale, they'd return to Flagstaff. They'd go back to Flagstaff. Listen, the rest of the National Football League said, wow, what are you guys doing? What is going on with all these teams that actually are going back to their home city to have training camp? 27 teams in the National Football League, ladies and gentlemen, 27 actually practice in their city. They have training camp in their own city. That is truly incredible right there. It's so different from my day where they wanted to sequester you. They would take you someplace. And, man, you were sleeping in cots. You were sleeping on cots, I should say, that were awful to sleep on. You were sleeping in dorm rooms, and it was hot, and the AC would be broke down. Bring your fan. Bring three fans. Blow it on. It was just it was so difficult. Your feet were hanging off these things, some of the big guys, some of the guys like Max Starks. Imagine Max Starks trying to sleep on one of these dorm beds, his feet actually just totally hanging off the bottom of it at 6'8", 335 pounds. So once again, this has been a slam dunk for the Arizona Cardinals, but I do miss Flagstaff. I miss it because it reminds me of when I played on 1988, 1989. Here we go. The smell of the cool pines. The blood sport is here.
Oh, that rookies are already there. That starts tomorrow. Other teams already been rolling. There's a lot of other stuff. I was a little shocked, I admit, when I was working yesterday thinking we're not going to have a lot of stuff tomorrow. And then I started looking through and started reading, and we have a lot to get to. Man. Let's start it off with the wake-up call.
Here we go.
Hello.
Yes, good morning. This is the Arizona Sports Front Desk with your wake-up call.
Thank you.
Maloney has the day off. Minch is filling in, meaning he'll run your wake-up call.
Number one at the top of the list, Arizona Cardinals linebacker Chandler Jones reportedly requests a trade.
I say it's terrible. I say you signed a contract. I don't want to hear. I know what people say. Hey, this is business. Listen, why is the honor of your family name business? I don't think it should be. You signed the contract. You're supposed to make $15 million this year. That's extraordinarily fair for your production. And at the same time, you came off an injury. So why should you get a contract extension? Why should they even talk to you about a contract extension?
Although in today's NFL, it does seem like it's part of the process right now. The fact that Chandler Jones wants a new contract isn't surprising. The fact he asked for a trade, that is.
Devin Booker makes Olympic debut in the same week as Suns NBA Finals exit.
Man, I got to tell you, that was surprising to me. It really was, just to see Drew Holiday out there, to see Chris Middleton out there, and Devin Booker as well playing as many minutes as Devin Booker did play. I was surprised. Drew Holiday actually looked like none of it impacted him whatsoever. Devin Booker looked like he didn't have his legs.
Mm-hmm. I look at it and say, I'm impressed that they even gave it a go. I'm thrilled that they did that. But I am a little annoyed that nobody on the team at one point said, hey, Pop, I can stop Evan Fournier. Am I asking too much, you think?
No.
Okay.
Phoenix Suns to hire assistant Brian Gates as Willie Green's replacement. Jeff Bauer and the Suns part ways.
I know so much more about the latter than I do the former. Jeff Bauer is the kind of guy that I certainly like because he seems to ruffle a lot of feathers, and there's only a statute of limitations for the last so long until people just get rubbed the wrong way by him. But since I'm kind of the same way with people, I like that a lot. I don't think you get better as an organization when you move on from his critical eye.
Yeah, and I would have to say with Brian Gates, he is a Monty Williams guy and has this hardcore coaching experience within Monty Williams Culture Club, and that matters to me. That's important going forward. In regard to Jeff Bauer, we'll have to wait and see.
Hmm. D-backs overpowered in loss to Cubs as Caleb Smith throws six innings.
You know, first of all, Pavin Smith continues to charge towards a potential rookie of the year as he had a nice series.
Two more hits.
Yesterday was kind of annoying, in which I realize you're down 5-0 through a poor pitching performance from Caleb Smith. But again, seventh and eighth innings, they've got runners all over the place. Two runners on, one out in the seventh. Bases loaded, one out in the eighth, and didn't get it done, batting 100 with runners in scoring position.
Diamondbacks had won, what, 5 of 6?
Yeah.
It was a pretty good stretch. ASU football's tight ends coach, Adam Brenneman, was reportedly placed on paid administrative leave Sunday by the university due to the ongoing investigation of the program.
I realize he's going to dance the whole time, but tomorrow at 1 o'clock is the appearance of Herm Edwards at Pac-12 Media Days. So he's going to have to answer, well, he's going to be asked questions and stand there and dodge them.
Yes.
But there's going to be questions asked. I'm really interested in the commissioner at 8 o'clock, because this is going to be a big deal. And David Shaw is at 10:20 in the morning, and he has come out on the record talking about how annoyed he was at the ASU allegations. This is really an interesting thing. As I've always told you, old school NCAA, I'm kind of an expert on, and I can tell you that it would have been time to already clean house the way that things used to work. But now that colleges fight the NCAA like crazy, it'll be the one thing to keep an eye on is whether or not the president gets involved. Because is he going to stiff-arm athletics and act like, hey, this is none of my business, that's all on you? Or is he going to be a true leader and step up and say, you've besmirched Arizona State, and start removing people?
In terms of Adam Brenneman going on administrative leave right now, tip of the iceberg, Basinonians, that's number one. And as far as Herm Edwards, hey, it's an ongoing investigation. I can't comment.
Yeah.
All right, last one for you guys, though there was a lot of other stuff to get to, but I went with the Coyotes. Their busy weekend saw them draft Josh Doan, son of Shane,
and then trading away
Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland to the Canucks.
Yeah, that I didn't like losing Garland. I looked at Oliver Ekman-Larsson and just assumed that day was coming, because it never seemed like he was perfect with Tockett. But then once Tockett moved on, I changed my mind and I thought, okay, I guess OEL is going to be staying. Didn't like losing Garland. But the other news that really grabbed me, if nobody minds me saying something, very few people in the world take more hockey pucks to the body than Hjalmarsson. So I just want to say, hey, congratulations. If it is true that Craig Morgan's report that you may be retiring, thanks for all that you've done in the game.
Boy, I'll tell you, I love the fact that Coyotes drafted Josh Dome, but man, that's going to be a lot of pressure on that kid.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. The very organization that his father was a legend in? Yeah. That's a lot.
I was just thinking, just be a nice guy and everything's fine. Coming up next, Chandler Jones wants a trade. Should he get it or should he recant? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
Everybody I've talked to this offseason about Chandler Jones has said the Cardinals aren't going to trade him, the Cardinals aren't going to trade him.
Business is business. You know, you let that sort of stuff out.
We've been in communication with both guys. We know the situations.
Have you picked up the phone to talk to the agent about a contract extension?
I won't get in. Those are private.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
I think as soon as you saw the news, if you're a Cardinals fan, you knew what the one was going to be. Good morning, it's Doug and Wolf. We're live in the Auction Community Studios. And Chandler Jones says, that's it, according to reports. He has said nothing publicly, but Jeremy Fowler of ESPN first to report that Chandler Jones, during the offseason, has requested a trade. We have zero idea whether or not that's been honored as far as conversations are concerned.
Yeah.
Or whether it's been, hey, you just sit tight, we'll see what happens. But D-Day, in a sense, is tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins active fines if Chandler Jones doesn't show up. So does he show up for camp and hope he gets the trade? Or does he use the leverage of a holdout to say, hey, I'm not playing for the Cardinals, so it's either trade me or you're going to get nothing out of this?
Yeah, you know, honestly, right now, Doug Lease, this seems to be the way that things are done in the National Football League for the most part. Listen, I would never do it based on earnings. I sign a contract. I'm going to give you my word. That's what that is. And it's in contract form. I'm going to show up. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to show up, and I'm going to go about my business. And I think this is exactly what Chandler Jones is going to do. He may have requested a trade. That's part of the process when you're trying to renegotiate a new contract. A lot of people use that. A lot of people in the past have actually used that with the Arizona Cardinals, as a matter of fact. I think Pat P, as a matter of fact, said he wanted to be traded.
Mm-hmm.
Darnell Dockett wanted to be traded, right? There are a lot of guys that actually have requested trades in the past. Quan Bolden wanted to be traded. There's a lot of guys that use this tactic and have been using this for decades in the National Football League. Now, Chandler Jones, it's not his personality not to show up and ball out. That's what I think he's going to do.
No, there's the opinionated side here, and then there's me trying to give you the facts of the situation, and those are two totally different things. My opinion is I have no problem when a player asks for a trade to the general manager and it doesn't go public. I have no problem with that because, who doesn't maybe in a situation at work, you don't like it, you have the right to go. These men are under contract. So you say, hey, I don't want to play for you, and I'm not going to do any more extracurricular stuff. I'm not doing any media interviews. I'm not going to be off the field in any way involved in anything that you want me to do, but there's my stance. That's different than once you go public, because now once you go public, you are going after really the leverage that your team has in a potential trade. So that's my personal feeling, is I don't like it. Now, if we just look at it factually, the new CBA changed things a little bit. The old CBA, you hold out, you get a fine every day, just like you do in the new CBA. But the fine was administered by the team, and the number one thing in negotiations would be, well, you're going to waive all these fines, right? And then the fines never did anything in the contract negotiations. Now it's a league-imposed fine. The team got sick of being in that weird boat of these fines have no teeth because we look like terrible human beings if we actually charge them with the fines. So now if Chandler Jones isn't at camp tomorrow, the NFL fines him for not being at camp, and he must pay that fine.
And what is that fine, Douglas? It's
like $50,000 a day.
$50,000. Yeah. Think about that right there.
So that's a stiff penalty to be losing to not show up. So he shows up. But if he does show up, there is a little bit of a lost leverage from him. Because then the whole time he's saying, well, now that you, if I'm Steve Kime, well, now that you're here and I know you're not going to hold out, I'm not in any rush to trade you. Which brings up the other question then, should he trade him at all?
Yeah, no, that's a great, no, that is a great question right there, and we're going to find out what is going to happen right here. Maybe this is coming from Chandler Jones and his agent. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, but maybe it's coming from his agent. Maybe he's the one pushing this, and here's my guess. Unless I miss my mark, I bet Chan shows up tomorrow, balls out in 2021. It's who he is. He's a great dude and a great player. Business is business. I bet he shows up, balls out. And then it's going to be tough for the Arizona Cardinals to make a decision on Chandler Jones. Maybe halfway through the season they get something done.
I was going to say, for Chandler Jones, in my opinion, to win this, look good the whole time, is suck up your frustration, play really well, and not sign an extension with the Cardinals. Now, granted, they can franchise you, but that brings up the question, boy, do you really want to spend that much money on a franchise tag for an aging player? And that'll be a difficult decision for them to make, but that's what would be best for him. Now, if he decides, I'm not playing, then the Cardinals can just sit and fine him and do nothing, or they can trade him. Now, the other option is for him to play. If he plays, he makes $15 million. That's really, really nice. And then he can go somewhere and earn his free agency. I would like to just see them negotiate something in which, I'll tell you what, you play out this year, we promise not to give you the franchise tag. And then everybody wins.
I got you.
And I think that would go a long way, because I think that's every player's fear when they get near 30, is they can't get one more big deal if you've got me available for the franchise tag. And that would be a great way to soothe everything over. We're not going to trade you, but you're still going to make $15 million this year. You're going to be happy about that, and we promise not to franchise you.
This, you said decision right there. I'm glad you brought that up, because this is not a difficult decision for the Arizona Cardinals, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. This is just me looking at it from the outside. You make Chan play. You make him play before you commit more money in the season. And if it's too late, then it's too late. We all know Chan might have another 17-sack season, and you might have to say goodbye, because 32-year-old pass rushers don't get paid huge extensions. They don't, for the most part. And sometimes that means you're going to have to part ways right there. And to me, I don't think they'll ever let it get to that point. I think this is a situation where Chan is going to show up. He's going to ball out. It's his personality. It's what he does right here. But he understands his situation right now. He's 31 years old. He's going to be 32 in February. So after the season, he's going to be 32 years old. He played in 5 games last year and had 1 sack. 5 games, 1 sack. And then he blew out his bicep. Listen, now you're going into the last year of your contract with all of those variables in place. If he was 26 or 27 years old, based on earnings, I'm telling you right now, this would be, okay, yeah, let's go ahead. Let's do something. I think they would have approached him in the offseason and said, let's do something going into the last year of your contract here. But at age 31, you're going to roll the dice and see what happens.
Or what bugs me, if I just compound your point, if he doesn't get hurt last year and is productive in 2020, I bet they're talking to him about an extension now anyway, because you're entering the last year of your contract. But you would have proven, despite your age, you were able to stay healthy, you were able to have a productive season. So it is the injury that is not the elephant in the room. It's what everybody is talking about. This was Steve Keim way back on February 19th. Are you planning on cutting Chandler Jones?
I'll reject that.
That was from an article of potential cuts that were coming up, so that's not part of the plan. But back in June...
Do you expect Chandler or Hicks tomorrow or Thursday, Cliff?
I don't, no.
That was the minicamp, when neither them or Jordan Hicks, of course, at the time, who had asked for a trade after the draft pick of Zaven Collins.
Yeah, you know, I think you have to understand the nature of Chandler Jones, the person. What a great guy he truly is, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right. Chandler Jones signed a huge contract 5 years ago, got paid by the Arizona Cardinals, and got better. Got better. If ever there was a perfect relationship between a player and a contract, it was Chandler Jones and the Arizona Cardinals. The fact that he made as much money as he did, and yet he got better. This is his personality. This is who he is. And it's one of the reasons why I fully expect him to show up tomorrow and ball out. Then the Cardinals will have a tough decision to make. At some point in time, I could see them approaching Chandler Jones this season and saying, what do we got to do? What do we got to do? And even then, it's going to be a dicey proposition because you got a guy, as I said, who's going to be 32 after the season. You don't see a lot of edge rushers at 32 years of age getting paid big contracts.
There's basically three things that could possibly happen, you know, in the next couple of days. You either have the holdout, you either have a trade, or listen for a third potential that does sometimes happen. The announcement that the Cardinals have given Chandler Jones' agent permission to seek a trade. So then it's basically go ahead and tamper. Go ahead, other teams, you're open to talk to the agent. But it's still, we got to get what we want or we're not doing this move. So we'll see if one of those three things happen. Quick other note, have you seen this? And I should have asked you off air.
Of course not.
Have you seen the Tom Brady video? Of him, of his accuracy drill?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
No.
Okay. I didn't either until the jugs machine fell. When the jugs machine fell down, I admit, that looks kind of real right there. If you haven't seen it, you see Tom Brady throwing a ball into the jugs machine so perfectly that the jugs machine catches it and spits the ball back out to him. It could very easily be something in going backwards,
yes,
and that's how it happens. But on the last throw, he actually knocks the jugs machine down, and the jugs machine spits the ball back up in the air as it's falling.
Yeah.
That one kind of got me, I admit.
Listen, only Greybeard could throw a Twinkie into a toaster.
Coming up next, Devin Booker goes from the finals to Tokyo. So how did he do? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Not Brady.
Oh,
here it is. This right here, ladies and gentlemen, this is training camp worthy, is it not? Man in the box. What do you say we go ahead, Bill Romanowski, and stuff you in a pine box? Metaphorically speaking, of course, my brothers. Wow. This is perfect right here. I don't know who picked this rejoin, but this makes you nuts, doesn't it? Smear on the eye black, baby, and streak it down. Go out and hit somebody. As long as you got a mouth guard and you got shoulder pads, it's still about busting somebody's chops. Hit somebody. What are you doing? What do you got, Douglas?
Well, I think we need to have a heart-to-heart talk with the men and women of the United States of America. We had a group of men in the box. And those group of men got out-rebounded by France.
Oh, yeah. That was bad.
Now, what are we doing in our nation that we could not muster our passions enough to keep France out of the paint?
France! Man, that was so bad.
Right, I mean, with all due respect, thank you for the Statue of Liberty. The whole Revolutionary War was nice. Really appreciate your help.
Yeah, that was nice.
But we've had enough time to keep France out of the paint since the 1770s and early 1780s.
How would you like to be part of Team USA right now, where you are the first team to lose a basketball game in the Olympics in 17 years? That right there, I had to double check that, ladies and gentlemen, when I read that. 17 years? Wow.
Now, I'm going to give you your little undermanned in which you have a cross-country flight after a parade, so Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and Devin Booker had been in Japan for something like 28 hours or something, and they're playing in a game with jet lag after that.
Can't even believe it.
Can't say that's going to be very easy. Drew Holiday was the only one of the three that played reasonably well, but that's not where I'm looking. I'm kind of looking at Team USA and saying, okay, Durant and Lillard combined to go 7 of 22. Keep in mind, it's a smaller three-point line, shorter three-point line, so it's an easier shot. They were 7 of 22 overall, and nobody on Team USA said, put it on me, I can stop Evan Fournier.
Hey, listen, Fournier balls. He played well. Give him some credit.
I give him, okay. I would if it wasn't for the fact that Team USA is on the other side and someone, listen, they've got NBA players. You got Fournier, they got Nicholas Batum.
Yes.
But it was, what this Rudy U.S. Gobert team doesn't realize, and we'll see if they do throughout the rest of the tournament, is they did not fully come to grips with every nation in the world already, even in archery, wanting to crush the United States. But in basketball, it is the dream come true of another nation to take the gold medal in basketball. And the U.S. was not at all prepared for that type of desperation. But you do have to keep an eye on the next game, by the way.
Why is that?
The United or the International Olympic Committee, along with FIBA, kind of changed and tweaked the rules of getting to the medal round. One of the actual criteria of getting to the medal round and a major tiebreaker in pool play is points differential. The United States is playing Iran.
Here we go.
In the next game.
Let's bear it.
Now,
here we go.
It's not running up the score. It's part of the rules to advance. I mean,
this
you would like to see something in the neighborhood of 110 to 48. Okay, that's what you'd like to see the United States do.
And keep in mind, that would be really, really good right there. I'd rather go 120 to 48, Douglas.
I'd say, of course.
Okay. And you got to remember, these are 10-minute quarters we're talking about. Not 12, 10 minutes. So, yeah, 120 would be nice. 120 to 48. Can you feel that, buddy?
Here's Drew Holiday after the game about playing with the guy he just took a championship from.
Man, he's a great player. He's easy to play with, smart player, knows how to play the game. So I think being able to go out there with him today and kind of get a feel on the groove was pretty easy.
Is he talking about Devin Booker?
Oh, yeah, playing with Devin Booker.
Got to be talking about Devin Booker. Yeah, you know, and it's just honestly, watching Book out there, I was shocked. I was surprised. I didn't think these guys were going to play. I mean, how much were they practicing with Team USA over the last couple of months? How much were they actually practicing with them? I doubt very little, if at all. When did they take off, Douglas? They took off on Friday?
The team did, but they the rest of the guys have been together for a little while in Vegas playing some exhibition games and things like that.
Okay, there you go, right there. Listen, I know how talented these guys are, but getting in the night before you play and then going out and playing the next day with zero exposure to your teammates, I was surprised to see that.
I was surprised too. Now, it'll be interesting. There's some articles. I know this is crazy. You play one game, and no, you should never lose when I think that's safe to say when the Olympic team has not lost in 17 years and we invented the game, it's fair to say you should not lose an Olympic game, but you knew it was going to happen eventually. But having said that, looking forward now with the team, there's already a little bit of talk that with a bad that Damian Lillard play, if Booker gets his sea legs back and he's not jet lagged, you might see Booker move to the starting lineup. He only had 4 points. He only shot 1 of 6. You'd like to chalk that up and say, well, that's because of the jet lag, but it wasn't like he was shooting the ball on fire at the end of the NBA Finals either. If there's anything out of these Olympics I would like, I'd like two things. A, number one, everybody on the team like Booker. Usually it's not a popularity contest. That matters to me.
Okay, that's good.
To be able to recruit free agents in the future.
Recruiting? There's no recruiting in the NBA. Of course there is.
And number two, I'd really like to see his shot come back. I'd like to see him go into the offseason shooting a little more consistently. It might not matter going into the offseason, but for next year, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I think I'd like to see him a lot more consistent as a three-point shooter, a lot more dead eye as a three-point shooter.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you right now. I think that's where he can totally expand his game offensively. Just keep working on all the other parts of his game right there. His mid-range game, I should say, as we know, is fantastic. There's no doubt about it. Take it to the rack all day long. He's got to improve that three-point shot, and yet his defense just get better, be that two-way player, that complete player. That's what I want to see from Devin Booker. That in his haircut. Did you see the haircut and the headband? Man, this looked good. I thought this was a good look for D-Book. How about you? Do you like that?
High and tight, man.
But it was, you know what? It was to me, it represented a cleansing. After losing in the finals, maybe he wanted a new look and maybe wanted a fresh start. I love that right there. Just a cleansing. He looked completely different. This is something they used to do. I was telling you about this in show prep. Ancient Egypt. The priests of ancient Egypt, Basinonians, they used to pluck every hair on their body. Think about that.
No.
I mean, I don't think that's what Devin Booker was doing, the cleansing, but that's what they used to do. Every hair on your body, Basinonians, they would pluck in ancient Egypt when they first started, early on in their domination as a people. That's what they would do.
You're confident that it's every hair.
Tweezers, every hair, they would. Can you imagine the process of that?
No, I can't. I don't find this humorous whatsoever.
It would take 3 months to do your back. I mean, really? Okay, let's not get blown up here, all right, Dudley Stewart.
Football season is here, thank goodness, and we're getting you ready with the Valley Virtual Series Training Camp Edition.
Maybe 4 months.
Text CAMP to 62620 to receive a link to this exclusive event where you'll hear from your favorite Arizona sports host, and you'll have the chance to win prizes like tickets and autographed memorabilia. Just text CAMP to 62620. Your Arizona Sports Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold. Get your price.
Four guys with tweezers. Think about that.
Coming up next. No. A man we thought would never show up to camp did.
Brutal.
But does that mean he's going to stay? Lots of news NFL-wise as football is here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. That is an all-time classic. That you spend that long trying to say Kelly Oubre. By repeating Kelly Eli Okobo the whole time.
See, it even got you.
It did.
Eli Okobo.
Super old school Doug and Wolf. There was one show, and you talk about me being an ignorant fool. I kept talking about Phil Collins as the head coach of the Lakers. And I could not stop saying that. And then Yoda, the old producer of the Doug Wolf Show, kept playing In the Air Tonight and Sue Studio when I tried to talk about Phil Jackson. Like, even if I got it right and said Phil Jackson, he would still punch Sue Studio. And it was just, like, we couldn't get anything accomplished.
Boy, that is old school.
That was
right there.
That was a long time ago. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, nice.
And now I think of Mike Tyson every time I hear the drums.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Yeah. The Hangover. But you're not a big movie guy, but The Hangover, Mike Tyson does the drums.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I did see that. But I think of Leonard Smith. This is what Leonard Smith. Go ahead and Google Leonard Smith. A safety drafted in the first round out of McNeese State. Think about that. McNeese State. And he was a tough mother. But this was his favorite song. He'd play it every pregame, over and over and over again, until some of the veteran players got together and told him, stop it. We're done. Play it once. Not three or four times in a row.
Good morning. Thanks for waking up with the two of us. Let's take a look at the NFL and something that we're only going to look at it from a football standpoint, because dealing with the 22 active lawsuits for potential harassment and other sexual crimes is something that's really difficult to get your head around. What we do on the Doug and Wolf Show is just pray for justice, because somebody's lying. And we just hope that whoever is the one that is ones that are being honest are get the justice that they deserve.
Indeed.
But here's the Deshaun Watson situation as it relates to football. Deshaun Watson is showing up to Houston Texans camp, and he's going to get fined $50,000 a day if he does not show up. And it's a weird situation right now, because I think he's just showing up to challenge the NFL. And the reason why I say that is these are not, as of now, a criminal complaint. These are all in a civil court. And with all of these in a civil court, it is still usual for the NFL to put you on the exempt list. You get paid while you're on the list, but you don't get to play. So it's kind of like you're innocent until proven guilty, but we don't want you around. I think that's the only reason why he's going, is he's hoping the NFL will give him that. His original plan was to absolutely sit out and force a trade. Now the Texans have even moved into the area since he showed up. We don't want to deal with this distraction either.
Deshaun Watson still wants to be traded. He's trained rigorously all summer. He plans to play somewhere, but by showing up, he simply avoids the $50,000 in fines every day. And so, you know, I continue to hear league-wide and internally in Houston that the Texans have sort of moved on. Adam Schefter put it well a few minutes ago. They moved on emotionally. That is exactly right. And so this week could honestly be a bit awkward, but it could maybe push the envelope for a trade here in the coming weeks. You know, I spoke to a source close to Watson who believes that he will be traded sooner than later, assuming his legal case plays out and gets resolved. And because of all the dynamics in play, you know, the team has other quarterbacks that it can move on from. It's willing to start veteran Tyrod Taylor in Watson's place. Watson, of course, has a no-trade clause right now, but he is intrigued by a handful of teams. He would have to be directly involved in getting a deal done. I'm hearing Denver has been one of those teams for a while. There are others, and so we'll see how this plays out.
When I think of this story with Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, all I can think of, based on it, is Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick was such an incredible stickler on not creating any type of distraction whatsoever. I can't emphasize enough to you how important this was. It was one of the reasons why the whole Tom Brady scandal and Spygate and everything else was so ironic to me, because of how adamant Bill Belichick was about players inside that locker room not creating any distractions whatsoever. And now all of a sudden, when I see this, I don't know how new head coach David Culley is ever going to pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
How do you got a guy like Deshaun Watson? Do you think Deshaun Watson is a guy that had a high profile inside that Houston Texans locker room?
Yes,
no doubt about that. A guy that was well-respected inside that Houston Texans locker room. Right now, all of the maelstrom that is swirling around Deshaun Watson, how in the world is this going to be a tenable situation? I don't think it is.
It's the most difficult situation in football in years, because here's a simple question with a complex answer. What is he worth? You are dealing with a dynamic young quarterback that has gotten better every year of his career, that outside of this scandal had always been universally respected within the locker room and outside the locker room as well. And therefore, you're talking three first rounders and maybe a third. I mean, that's the bare minimum maybe for a Deshaun Watson. And yet you're trading for a man who has an out clause in the contract in 2 years and is under investigation right now, civilly, not criminally, for 22 different active lawsuits by women. That's your team leader?
Yes.
I mean, how in the world do you set that price? And imagine the team that pays it. Your first press conference is, why did you bring in a potential sexual predator into our community? Is that fair? Is it not fair? I don't know what's fair, but those are the types of questions that would be asked.
Oh, it's an unbelievable situation. It really is. And for the record, Basinonians, I love Deshaun Watson. I don't know what is going on. I don't know who is lying and who isn't lying right now. And I think you put it so well, Douglas. We pray for justice in this situation to happen. That's what we pray for.
Because if he's innocent, this is horrific. They destroyed a man's value and character.
Oh, my goodness.
And if it is totally true, why are we talking about him?
Yes.
Why is he in the league? We don't know. How do you handle this?
But before all of this happened, Basin Orleans, I can tell you right now that if I would have picked one quarterback in the league to start a team, it would have been Deshaun Watson. I said it. I said it over and over again before all of this came down. If there was one quarterback I would have picked to start a team, it would have been Deshaun Watson.
Now, here's the weirdest part about all of this, again, only keeping it on the football side. Name another time in football history where you as a general manager, without a quarterback, get to choose between Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You could actually call the Texans or the Packers and try to discuss a trade.
Yeah.
Who do you want? Do you want the aging quarterback that you know can win you a Super Bowl? Or do you want the younger quarterback with a civil situation going on that you think can win you a quarterback? But again, younger, younger, younger.
See, because I think of the position right now that the quarterback is, and it's just unlike anything else in all of professional sports, in my opinion. It is. The franchise quarterback in the National Football League, it's unlike any other position on any other sports team in the history of professional sports. It's just, you can't explain it. Kurt Warner, Carson Palmer, we've had a lot of discussions with them about QB1, right? We had a lot of recorded discussions with them about the very nature of what it's like to be a franchise quarterback and how important it is. And the fact you've got to be the face, you've got to be the answer man to everything on and off the field. You've got to be it all. And now all of a sudden you've got this surrounding Deshaun Watson right here. And I know there's a lot of people out there that say, Patrick Mahomes, how in the world, Wolf, would you take Deshaun Watson over Patrick Mahomes? Well, before all of this exploded right here, number one, I was told he was a better leader. He was a better leader even than Patrick Mahomes, number one. And number two, I thought he was a better athlete than Patrick Mahomes. Now, Pat Mahomes has got a better arm. There's no doubt about that. But Deshaun Watson is, in my opinion, a guy that I would definitely have started a franchise with Deshaun Watson as my quarterback before all of this happened because of his leadership skills and how intelligent he is. And the fact that this has happened to him it's still difficult for me to talk about. I love this kid. And now, man. It is. I don't know how David Culley and the Houston Texans could orchestrate a single day of training camp with Deshaun Watson as his quarterback. The distraction is going to be ridiculous. We're going to find out how that goes.
Chris Mortensen just put out a tweet. The price that some people are saying, according to league executives, is seven players for the Texans. They want two players that are starting NFL players now and a combination of five draft picks.
Wow.
So they haven't necessarily specifically said, we want three first-rounders, four first-rounders, whatever, but they want seven players, five that they choose from college, two that are playing right now.
You know what the other thing is about this? His teammates know what's what. That's the other thing about this. That might be very telling going forward as well. This isn't a surprise to some of his teammates, or is it?
I know this point's been repeated 400 million times, but they were up big on the Chiefs in a playoff game. Does anybody remember in the history of sports a collapse of a franchise in such a small amount of time so quickly? And I mean so completely. So completely.
Stunning.
I mean, the only collapse that was bigger was, of course, the fire hydrant. Coming up next, we talked about Booker's debut, but what about the rest of Team USA? It wasn't pretty. Should we care? It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.